take a moment and settle yourself down. Center yourself within your being, at the center of your being. Come, let us contemplate together. God is. Imagine, if you will, a world of no power. A world in which there is absolutely no power of any kind. No power for good anywhere. No power for evil anywhere. What would life be like in a universe of no power? There would be no competition. Nobody would compete for any jobs, for any opportunities, for anything. In this world of no power, there would be no competition. There would be nothing to overcome. In a dimension of no power, no power would be needed. No power would be used. No power would be exerted. Nothing to overcome. No lacks and limitations to overcome. No sickness, disease to overcome. No sadness or depression to overcome. Only a state of is. For the last year, there have been many talks made. But we are entering the second year of these talks. And Spirit has been bringing up again and again the book The Thunder of Silence by Joel Goldsmith. This book has the secret of a world of no power. And it has been revealed that perhaps it is time to go through this book together so that we may find the freedom that we had before we accepted the knowledge of good and evil, before we accepted a belief in two powers. before we entered a world of two powers. And so, this morning, let's take one of the chapters and just see what is revealed. And if this is something that you like, something that resonates with you, please let me know. And we'll continue with the adventure of the Thunder of Silence. This is chapter 4 called Who Told You? I believe this to be one of the deepest books ever produced on planet Earth. This gives us the direct path to come out from under the law of Moses, the law of karma, a belief in two powers, into a universe of grace, a universe of is, a universe of no power. So center yourself and open your inner ear that which is may reveal itself to you now. Listen. The world can never rise above the idea of using one power over another and into the realm of no power until the mystery of Genesis is solved. In this first book of the Bible are found two completely contradictory and conflicting records of creation. The first chapter is obviously the work of a mystic who had achieved complete union with God and who saw that this entire universe is consciousness appearing as form, whereas subsequent chapters contain an account of the creation of mind. The first record of creation is a revelation of the activity of consciousness, your consciousness, in all its purity and eternality. It recounts the unfolding of a spiritual universe, where there is light before there is a sun or a moon, where the crops are in the ground before the seeds are planted, and where there is man before there is woman. That which is formed of consciousness is never born. It is merely an emanation of consciousness, which not only has no beginning, but has no ending, because as long as there is consciousness, there is consciousness formed. When consciousness appears as form, it can appear as a seed or as a completely developed tree without ever having gone through any process of growth. Consciousness, or soul, which we call God, reveals and expresses itself as a spiritual universe in which there is no conception and no birth. In other words, creation is the immaculate conception of God revealing itself as individual identity, an identity expressing as human, animal, vegetable, and mineral forms, so that in reality, God, consciousness, is the very essence and substance of the earth, even of what appears as stones, rocks, sand, and soil, just as that same consciousness is the substance of our true identity. In Genesis, we learn that God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden, in the midst of perfection and harmony, surrounded only by goodness, love, and beauty. Joy and harmony reigned there until into that Eden came something that destroyed it and ejected Adam and Eve from the garden. Now, this is an allegory. This is talking about you, your conscious oneness with God, your communion with the infinite consciousness, is an experience. And the only thing that keeps you from that experience of your oneness with God is this. To continue, that something has always remained more or less of an enigma, and yet the whole mystery is clearly explained in the second and third chapters of Genesis. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were naked, but they were unaware of their nakedness. They had bodies, but as long as they were of a pure mind, there was no shame in them. Bodies were just normal, natural things, so why be ashamed of them? Yet the next thing we read is that Adam and Eve were ashamed because they knew they were naked. Suddenly, the belief of evil had come into their minds, and they began to cover up and hide. What were they covering up, and from what were they hiding, except the belief of evil in their own minds? And God said to Adam, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" And that query is summed up the whole essence of human life. All of us are in that same predicament in which Adam found himself. As long as we entertain a belief of good and evil, we are the Adam who is hiding, the Adam who is outside the Garden of Eden. And because of that, we are all covering up our nakedness. Everybody is hiding from someone or from himself, or hiding something within himself for fear of having it brought to light. Why? Because he is dwelling in the realm of good and evil. Who told him that this is good and that is bad? Who told him that it is more moral to cover up the body than to expose it? Who told him that there is sin? Who made this condition? From his very question, God certainly implies that he did not. God did not say there was anything wrong about a naked body, nor did he say there was anything wrong on the face of the earth. The sin that crept into Eden was not an apple, nor was it sex, although traditional religious opinion would so identify it. The sin was the acceptance of two powers. And when man began to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he took upon himself a dual universe, so that no longer could it be said that he was too pure to behold iniquity, because now he saw and knew both good and evil. The second chapter of Genesis departs radically from the first, in that it is the account of the creation of mind. Mind producing mental images, not externalized reality, but mental images in thought only. Mind appearing as thoughts, changeable as the weather. Thoughts which never penetrate beyond the realm of mind into the realm of being. The truth of the matter is that neither thinking 2 times 2 is 4, nor thinking 2 times 2 is not 4 will make it so. 2 times 2 is 4, is 4, is 4, is. It has nothing to do with thought. It would be so even if we did not think it so, because it is. Thinking cannot make anything true. Ah, but in the inner silence, which is a listening attitude, in which we are taught of God, and in which God utters His voice, the earth melts. Sin, sickness, and all lack disappear, and God imparts to us that which is. Only in the realm of being are we outside of thoughts, where is. Now, we've covered a lot already, and we've only read 2 pages. The Garden of Eden is a state of consciousness, and it is a state of consciousness where the only thing that isn't there, that is there now, is the belief in good and evil, the belief in 2 powers, the belief in many powers. That is why we started today with the vision of a world, a universe with no power. One of the best talks that have been made is the one called The Non-Power of Silence, because it gives the clue as to what will dissolve the belief in 2 powers. The fact is that you are consciousness expressed. The fact is that consciousness is God. And the fact is that you are perfect, even as your Father, your consciousness. Consciousness is infinite, invisible, eternal, and that consciousness is you. But to experience consciousness and your oneness, your union with consciousness, will require that you come out from under the law of 2 powers. Now, this is the whole crux of the matter. The law was given to us by Moses, but grace and truth came to us from Jesus Christ. The law of karma, as ye sow, so shall you reap. We must understand that that law is not a law. No. For that law to be a law, there would have to be good and evil, wouldn't there? Because you would have to be able to sow good and reap good. You would have to be able to sow evil and reap evil. If we are honest and we look out at our world, the one we are living in, the one we are conscious of, then we will see all the places where people, places, and things appear as either good or evil. We are so conditioned by the belief in 2. That is why there have been many places in the Infinite Way writings where it is stated, there is no God and. The minute we have God, consciousness, and me, God and you, well, we've taken ourselves right out of the Garden of Eden. because now we have an individual who can be good or who can be evil. This world is filled with powers. The power of disease, the power of cancer to rack your body, eat up all the good cells, reproduce itself with no way to stop it. That certainly seems like a power. And if you are under the belief of good and evil, if you are living in a universe with two powers, if you are living under the law of karma, then the power of cancer can destroy you, and will. What about the power of bombs, wars, atomic, nuclear weapons? Yes, in this universe of two powers, they can utterly disintegrate you. What about the power of, the power of the press, power of propaganda? If all the news stations in America decides to slant their coverage of a certain individual in a negative fashion, almost everyone in America will see that person as an evil person. But if you've been paying attention, as you have read the books of the Infinite Way or other mystical writings, then you will know God never created an evil person. Yet, when every news station in America says that this person is evil, is that now not how we start to see them? We have been conditioned. The power of the press has operated on us. What about the power of gravity? Well, everyone must admit that gravity is power. Just step off of a 14th story building and let's see if gravity is power. In this world of two powers, of good and evil, the force of gravity will pull you down and smash you at the end of your fall. But the point that I wish to make today is, there is another universe. There is another world. There is another state of consciousness. And in that consciousness, there is no power. Thou could have no power over me, is Christ consciousness telling this world that there is a dimension of no power. Do you believe that Christ Jesus walked across the water? I have no doubts. What then became of the power of gravity? Do you believe that leprosy was healed, dissolved, disappeared? I myself have seen many diseases disappear. Melt, as the Bible says. The earth melts. God speaks and disease melts. What then became of the power of disease? Saul, S-A-U-L, Saul, was an evil man. The early Christians would be together praying. Well, what's wrong with praying? Yet in came Saul and his band of men and killed them. Simply because they threatened the very foundation of the Hebrews, which is the law, two powers. So he was an evil man, was he not? Yet along comes Christ consciousness, and Saul is transformed and becomes Paul. Paul, an instrument for the divine. Paul, a channel for the presence of God. What then became of that evil power called Saul? There is another world, and it exists right here. You are in it. And in this world, this other world, this new dimension, this higher consciousness, it is a realm of no power. No power. This is the way of true prayer. True prayer is not words. True prayer is not thoughts. True prayer is silence. The silence of no power. And from this realm, Christ tells us, "Why callest thou me good? There is one good, and that is God." Now that should be enough so that none of us ever call anything good. And you probably won't like this, but it must be said. There are no good human beings. There are no good individuals. Humans are not good. Beautiful mountains are not good. Beautiful seaside is not good. Beautiful weather is not good. Beautiful children are not good. Beautiful stars are not good. Wonderful meals are not good. Strawberry shortcake is not good. Chocolate pie is not good. There is nothing good, but thinking makes it so. And remember, these thoughts that make something good are emanating from the belief in good and evil, which is the world mind. These are not God's thoughts. There is nothing evil. The enemy during a war is not evil. The disease that kills people is not evil. The plagues, the viruses, are not evil. The horrible vehicular accidents are not evil. The wild animal that eats a child is not evil. The snake that bites your heel with venom is not evil. The man who commits a senseless series of killings, the serial killer, is not evil. The dictator that kills 1,000 people because they do not agree with his point of view is not evil. There is nothing evil, but thinking makes it so. And these thoughts emanate from the belief in two powers, or the belief in many powers, which is the world mind. But my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. Do you see how this is all bound up together? We are being told to come up to another state of consciousness. A state in which we are free from the belief in good and evil. A state in which we are free from the belief in two powers. A state in which we are free from the mortal mind, the world mind. A state in which we are free from the knowledge of good and evil. And that is the only veil, my dear friends. When that veil is lifted, we shall discover we have never left home. We have always existed in a state of bliss. In the Garden of Eden, we started this talk with a reading from the Thunder of Silence, in which we were told that the first chapter of Genesis describes consciousness expressing itself, perfect spiritual consciousness expressing itself as you, as me, individually. And that is our true identity. We were immaculately conceived. Consciousness, God expressing itself. Perfection expressing itself. That is our true identity. You were never born. You cannot die. Those two ideas are, again, the belief in good and evil. They emanate from the world mind, and we have been told they are a creation of the mind, but they are not externalized. It should be clear to us now that we are living in a false mind. We are living in a false creation that exists only in this mind showing us these pictures. It should be clear to us that we do not need God to fix, a false sense of creation, to heal a false sense of creation. We need to awaken. We need to see through the veil. We need to have the veil lifted. We need to come out from our bondage to the belief in two powers, in good and evil. We need to come out from that mind which sees such a horrible creation. We need to come out from the Adam dream. And now, what are some practical ways to do this? Let us return again to another portion of this same chapter, because it tells us how to do it. It's really quite wonderful. The belief in two powers is what traps us into vacillating between the pairs of opposites. Harmony and discord, poverty and abundance, life and death, sickness and health. Whereas the ability to abide in our inner being, realizing that there is only one power, that there is no good and there is no evil in any form, in any form, frees us and brings the peace that passes understanding. The only devil is the knowledge of good and evil. We decide that this is good and it is so unto us, or that this is evil and so it is. Whereas the truth is that there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Then to be rid of the pairs of opposites, now listen to this closely, because he is telling us to be rid of the pairs of opposites, to come out from under the belief in good and evil, to awaken from the dream, to remove the veil, to come out from under the law of karma, we must stop the merry-go-round of the human mind. And that actually is not as difficult or as impractical as it sounds. What he isn't saying here is that the human mind, any human mind, is the world mind. And so we must come out from under the human mind. That is the veil. He says, I have been asked many times, how do you stop thinking? And I have found one way. Here is your practice for this week for those that are willing to put it to work. The minute I can look at any person or condition and know that it is neither good nor evil, my thought stops and my mind becomes quiet. That is the end of it, because there are no thoughts left for me to think about it. I do not think good of it, and I do not think evil of it. All I know is that it is. And then I am back at the center of my being, where all power is. Our mind is restless only when we are thinking about things or persons, either in terms of good or evil. But the mind is at rest when we surrender all such concepts, because, my friends, that's what they are. We are living in a world of concepts. You created yours, I created mine, but that isn't true either. They were created by the world mind, this impersonal mind, which fools us by making us believe that it is our mind, a human mind. After we have had enough experience hitting up against every form of error that can conceivably come to the human mind, and have seen at least a portion of it rendered in nothingness, just by realizing that there is neither good nor evil because there is only God, then we are approaching the place where eventually we may have sufficient conviction to respond to our particular pilot as did Jesus to his. Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Throughout my years of healing work, I have learned that if I can be made to accept the condition or the person that is brought to me as either good or evil, just in that proportion will I fail to bring about a healing. Healing comes with the realization this is not evil, and this is not good. There is neither good nor evil here because only God is here. And where God is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When we lived in Eden, that is, in harmony and perfection as the pure offspring of God or consciousness, we were as gods, complete and whole. And the way to return to the Garden of Eden is to give up the pairs of opposites. Complete harmony comes when we no longer desire good any more than we desire evil or fear evil. Because when we desire anything, although we may think we are desiring good, actually we have not the least way of knowing whether our fulfilled desire will result in blessing or harm. As long as we can be made to believe that one thing is good and another evil, we shall remain outside the Garden of Eden or the Kingdom of Heaven. Because remember, the Kingdom of Heaven is a kingdom of no power. The Kingdom of Heaven is a kingdom of is. The original purity of Adam and Eve consisted of this desirelessness. They were constituted of God and given all that they needed by the grace of God. God was their being. God was their life. God even formed and governed their body. All day long they enjoyed the good things of life, until into the midst of this paradise, good and evil entered their consciousness, after which they no longer walked blissfully up and down the garden, but walked right out of Eden into the world where they became man and woman of earth. As long as we have a knowledge of good and evil, we too are living in the world like that of Adam and Eve, who were expelled from the Garden of Eden. Now, this is today only 4 pages out of this book, but we can see that we have a work ahead of us. The reason why meditation is such an important part of the infinite way is because meditation leads us out of the human mind. Every time that we close our eyes and become still inside, we are not entertaining the belief in good and evil. We are simply resting. And so the practice is this. As we walk around, if you become aware of something that looks good, correct it within yourself. No, this is not good. This thing that, or this person that is appearing good or beautiful, that's a concept. That is not there. Only God is there. And rest. Take no thought about it. And do the same thing when you see something or someone that appears to be evil. Oh my God, how could he do that? Oh, wait a minute. I'm listening again to that human mind. This is simply a concept. But this concept is not out there. Only God is there. And so thank you, Father, for reminding me. I will rest. I will take no thought about it now. In this way, we shall create a moment of silence in which God can reveal that immaculate creation that is really there. And let us take the same idea into meditation several times during the day. Oh, only 5 minutes, 7 minutes. There is nothing good or evil, but thinking makes it so. My work is to step out of that thinking. And so, now I know that the belief in good and evil is simply a concept that was accepted way back who knows when. But I am no longer willing to go on dreaming these pairs of opposites. I am going to come out from under the law that God never created. Do you know God never created a law of karma? That was part of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if you have no tree of knowledge, no belief in good and evil, there's no such thing as karma. You enter a world of grace, where God's grace lives your life for you, where God's grace lives your life as you, where God's grace is you. And so in our meditation, we recognize there is no good or evil. And now I'm going to stop taking thought about any of those pictures. And here in the stillness, God, reveal yourself. Reveal your creation, your being, your presence. And then take a moment to listen. Now that you've stepped outside of the thinking and become still, here you may hear the Word of God. God will reveal itself in one way or another to you. And here in this higher consciousness, the world of two powers cannot operate. Here, in the reality of your being, illusions cannot operate. And so develop this habit of catching yourself when you have been tricked into seeing good or evil. If you can, get by yourself and remind yourself that there is no good or evil, only God is here. And then rest for a moment. Invite God to reveal itself. And you shall be taught of God. God will respond, because God is your very own consciousness. This talk today is on 4 pages out of the Thunder of Science, out of the chapter, Who Told You? I would like to begin the second year starting at page 1 and going through the entire book, because our freedom, anyone within range of this sound, can attain the freedom that this book was meant to bring us. And Joel says in the introduction that he did not expect for the profound message to be understood for years to come. Well, it's been 42 years, 43 years. Don't you think it's time we really took a look at this? That we came to practice what's in this book so that we may inherit our freedom? If you are interested in this book, if you are interested in talks going through this entire book, if you think that this is something that would benefit you, please let me know. You can post a message on Mystical Principles List on Yahoo. You can find my email on mysticalprinciples.com. You can drop me a note at iamwithin@gmail.com. gmail.com. Or you can just write me at Post Office Box 2147, Robbinsville, North Carolina 28771. My name is Bill Skiles. I would be happy to do this, and if no one is interested and I do not hear from you, then I will just take the book and review it myself. But if you feel that it is something that would interest you, and if you let me know, I will continue to make these talks, starting on page 1 and going through the book. Thank you for your time, and take a look at this. Take this into your meditation. Imagine a world with no power. A world where you resist not evil. A world where you call us not anything good. A world of is. A world of grace. A world of consciousness. Thank you and blessings.